Good morning. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. My name is Susie Jones, as you just heard. Happy to be with you. Happy to have Charlie with us on this Sunday morning. Charlie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm a little tired. I'm a little tired this morning. I'll be honest with you.
That's fine. I get it. I'm a little tired too, but we'll push through for the sake of the show.
Of course, always.
Yeah, we're going to talk about something very important this next hour. In fact, this last week in Minneapolis downtown, there was a very emotional flag-raising ceremony at Hennepin Healthcare in partnership with LifeSource, where they honored and really just, you know, acknowledged the incredible work that's being done in the world of transplant, organ transplant. LifeSource is an organization that helps sort of make it all happen, and we are very happy to have with us on our newsline today Susan Mao Larson. She is Chief Administrative Officer with LifeSource. Good morning, Susan. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning, Susie. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk, first of all, kind of take me back to Wednesday. What was that like? I know, is that an annual thing that you do at the hospital, stand outside and kind of honor all those who have given and have gotten organs?
Yes, Susie, it is an annual thing. In fact, April is National Donate Life Month. And so this is the time of year that we honor all of those who have given the gift of donation and celebrate those who have received the gift of transplantation. So hospitals throughout Minnesota during April do raise that flag and take that moment to extend that honor and that care and that recognition for those individuals.
Let's talk a little bit about this past year. 89 people received the gift of life from 33 different donors at healthcare. Let's talk about the numbers and where, how much the whole business has grown over the years.
Yes, as you said, donation and transplantation continues to increase year over year. In fact, in the United States, there were more than 45,000 organ transplants in 2023. So this is really incredible. These are life-saving gifts that help those who are suffering from end-stage organ failure.
Just want to remind our listeners, Susan, that they can ask a question as well of you, and our number to text or call is 651-461-9226. Again, it is 651-461-9226. We're talking about organ donation, and maybe you yourself have gotten an organ and you want to share your story and what your life was like, what it was like before and what it's like after. I know so many people, I think that kidney transplant maybe is the biggest. You tell me in terms of where you see the most organ transplantations.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Yes, kidney is the greatest need for organ transplant. Let me tell you, just maybe it would help tell you a little bit about LifeSource. So LifeSource is the organization that, the nonprofit organization that manages organ donation in Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Western Wisconsin. So what that means is if you have donor on your driver's license, you're familiar with our work. Mm-hmm. And we are that bridge between the donor hospitals, the families, and those waiting for transplant. So, yep. And there are more than 3,000 people in our three states who are in need of a transplant, more than 100,000 in the United States. And of those 100,000 people, the vast majority are waiting for a kidney transplant.
And tell me about kidney transplants, because I know, obviously, I think people know that you have two kidneys and you can live with one. Is it generally someone giving one of their kidneys, or is it a death, or how does that take place if someone gets or gives a kidney?
Yep. If someone needs a kidney, they can receive it either from a deceased donor or a living donor. So at LifeSource, we worked with the deceased donation process. So when there is an individual in a hospital who has the potential for a donation, the hospital will call us. And our team does extensive medical evaluation and testing to determine the potential for a donation. Then we manage the organ recovery process. We also have highly trained staff, many are former chaplains, who support families through that process. People can be living donors, and so, like you said, we all have two kidneys. We really only need one. So somebody who needs a kidney can receive that from a living donor, and hospitals like Hennepin Healthcare manage the living donation process.
Yes, I know they've got a pretty reputable department when it comes to kidney transplants. I think they've had that center open for a long, long time, have they not?
They've had that center open for a very long time. It's very well respected. They do incredible work. In fact, they performed the first kidney transplant in the state of Minnesota. I don't even know which year, but many years ago. So really have been an incredible partner in donation and in transplantation.
651-461-9226 if you are listening. Maybe you are waiting for a kidney. I mean, a lot of people are. Just want to say this. On average, I'm reading some material you guys sent me, 17 people die every day waiting for their transplant, and a new name is added to the list every 9 minutes. One donor can save up to 8 lives through organ donation and improve over 75 lives through tissue or eye donation. In Minnesota, nearly 2,300 people are waiting, as you said, to receive life-saving organ transplants. What's the biggest hang-up still, Susan? I mean, are people just nervous about it? I mean, tell me a little bit about the hesitancy.
Yep, that's a great question. First, I think it's important to share, in Minnesota, about 55% of people are registered as donors. That's great. Higher than North Dakota, lower than South Dakota. So I think room to grow. Interestingly, men are about 10% less likely to register as donors than women. So really, we're working to understand that. But I think some of the barriers why people don't register is, one, they just don't know about it, right? Or they don't have enough information. And so it's our job at LifeSource to make sure that everybody has information about donations so that they can make a decision to donate. You know, the other thing sometimes that reason people don't register is because they think they can't be donors. They think they're too old, or they think maybe because they have diabetes or another health condition. And those are really myths. You know, the oldest organ donor in the United States was 95.
Wow.
So we can't assume that we're too old, and science and medical innovations keep advancing. And so despite having some health conditions, people really can donate and help others.
Again, you are listening to our health show here on WCCO Radio. Susan Mao Larson is our guest. She is Chief Administrative Officer with LifeSource, and we're talking about organ donation. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you've gone through it yourself. This is an opportunity this hour to talk about your experience or ask a question of Susan as they continue to do this life-saving work. We're going to take our first break this morning, and then when we come back, we'll get to some of your questions, more of my questions, after this on News Talk 830 WCCO. And we are back. It is 7:20 on a Sunday morning, the 7th of April, 2024. Expecting rain today. Kind of be miserable the next couple of days. I shouldn't say miserable. We need the rain to get out of the drought, and so we'll take it. My name is Susie Jones. We're talking about organ donation this morning, and our guest is Susan Mao Larson. She is with LifeSource, and we've invited you to be part of the show as well at 651-989-9226, 651-461-9226, 989, I'm going to say it again, 651-461-9226.
There it is.
There.
You got it.
So, good morning, Susan. We have a text question. Do you always have to be put on a ventilator prior to being a donor, this texter asks?
That is a terrific question, and thank you for that. To be an organ donor, which would be like heart, lung, liver, kidney, pancreas, intestines, you do actually need to die in a hospital and be on a ventilator. So the ventilator allows the organs to continue to have oxygen and blood until the time of recovery. So that is why about 1% of people who pass away are actually eligible to be an organ donor. So it's actually very, very rare and precious gift, and that's why we encourage everybody to really think about it and say yes to donation.
That is so. Go ahead, Susan. I was just going to say, so if someone's in a car accident and they're forgive me, dead at the scene in the car, they would not be an organ donor?
That's correct. Oh. They would have the potential to be a tissue and eye donor, and tissue and eye donation, as you know, are really precious gifts, yeah. giving somebody the gift of sight. I was just thinking this morning about one of our colleagues who sadly a few years ago tore her ACL skiing, and she was only able to have her mobility restored by the gift of a tissue transplant. So yes, there is more potential to be a tissue and eye donor, but organ donation, you must be on a ventilator.
Okay, next texter writes, hello, if I gave bone marrow a few years ago, am I still on the bone marrow donor list? Also, if I gave one of my healthy kidneys, what's the incident or what's the number of people who have a kidney then to develop a problem? Oh, that's a good one. So let's start with the bone marrow. Can you be on the bone marrow list even if you've given once? Are you still on it? Do you know that?
You know, that's a great question. I actually don't know the answer to that. We're fortunate that NMVP, which is the organization that manages bone marrow donation worldwide, is based here in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. So they would know the answer to that.
Okay, sorry about that. And then kidneys developing problems after a donation.
Mm-hmm. You know, my understanding is that developing problems with your kidney after donation are very rare. Kidney donors, living kidney donors, really have a long, healthy life. However, if somebody who has donated their kidney does need a kidney transplant, they would have a little bit more priority on the transplant waiting list.
Okay. 651-461-9226. We're talking about organ transplantation as well as organ donation. And so when you go to the DMV to get your license plate, they'll ask if you want to be a donor, and you can say yes or no. A texter writes next here, I know it sounds absurd, but my mom doesn't want to sign up to donate because she thinks that if she were in an accident, the hospital wouldn't try as hard to keep her alive. I wonder if anyone else has ever felt this way, they ask.
Yeah, Susie, actually, we hear that a lot.
Okay.
I think people not understanding the process have a little bit of concern about that. I can assure you that doctors are doing everything they can to save your life, and it's actually LifeSource that will find out if you have donor on your license at the time that donation is an option. So even at the time of the accidents, the doctors, the EMTs, they don't even know if you've made the decision to donate. That would only come later, and we're the ones that would be able to access that information.
Can you make the decision to donate or your family on your behalf if you have not marked it as a donator on your driver's license?
Yes. As I said, about 55% of Minnesotans have registered to be donors. But when there's a potential donor and they have not registered, then we will work with the family and ask them what their decision would be. Mm. And, you know, we really encourage people, whether you register or not, share your decision with your family. That's a very, very important step. It leaves instructions for your family. It's one less decision they need to make at the end of life. And then they know that they're doing what you wish. And so absolutely families can make that decision.
I'm kind of want to go back to the ventilator and not being able to give unless you're in a hospital on a ventilator. Is there any room to move on that in terms of going forward? Obviously, the need is greater than the number of people that. So let's just say that we've all done this on our driver's license. But because of this restriction of ventilator hospital, you could have so much more, but you can't because of this rule.
Right.
Could you see that changing to accommodate more possible donations?
Mm-hmm. You know, the need to be on a ventilator, it's actually just a medical need, and it's what keeps the organs healthy long enough so that we can do the surgical recovery and make sure that those in need receive a viable transplant. Now, science and medicine is really working hard to find other ways to do that. So there's more perfusion technologies. There's many more things. For example, in 2020, when COVID hit, we did not, for some time, anyone who died either with active COVID or previous COVID was not able to donate.
Okay.
However, science, as we learned about the virus, science and our doctors were able to figure out, no, we actually can transplant organs from COVID patients. And so that's no longer a barrier. So at this time, the ventilator is really, really important. But again, the science continues to develop so that more and more organs can be transplanted. And I would say, for example, and this is another area Hennepin has been a leader, a few years ago there was developments that now we can have, it's rare, but we can have somebody who dies who's HIV positive be a donor, and their organs would be received by somebody who's a recipient who's HIV positive. So there's more and more ways that we can increase the number of transplants.
651-461-9226. A texter writes, does the donor family have to pay the cost of taking out the organ?
Absolutely not. There is no cost to the donor or the donor family for donation. Donation is a gift. So all costs that are incurred related to donation, LifeSource assumes, and then we will pass that along to the transplant center for where the recipient receives the transplant. But there's absolutely no cost to the donor or the family.
The next texter writes, good morning. Does the whole body donation program through the University of Minnesota put viable organs on the donor list? Thank you. Do you know that program?
I'm not sure I fully understand the question, but what I would say is that the whole body donation program at the University of Minnesota is a strong partner of LifeSource. When somebody dies and they're an organ donor, if they also want to be a whole body donor, then organ recovery would happen first. And then we would work with the University of Minnesota so that they may receive that gift of whole body donation, which is so important for research and for the medical school there. But one does not preclude the other.
Okay, very good. Say, let's take our bottom of the hour break. We'll do some weather. I'll share some important information with you about my life. And I want to talk, when we come back, about new technologies out there in terms of organ donation. And where we are with rejection and rejection drugs. We'll do that after this quick break. It is 729 on News Talk 830 WCCO. 735. News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm Susie Jones on our newsline, Susan Mount Larson with LifeSource. And we're talking about organ donation. And we want you to be a part of the show as well at 651-461-9226. It's a good question. My wife and I are both 82. He says, I have prostate, bladder, and lung cancer. My wife has leukemia. We've been told we're too old, and if you have cancer, you can't be a donor. Is that true, Susan?
Yes, and first, I'm sorry to hear about your health issues.
That's
really, really difficult, very sad. I would say you're not too old. However, when somebody has active cancer, they aren't able to be an organ donor because, of course, we want to make sure that that's not passed along to the recipient.
If you've had cancer and you're no longer have cancer, does that make a person still available?
No, they could be a donor, absolutely. And so once that you get through treatment and you no longer have that active cancer, yes, then you would have a potential to be a donor. So that's why I think it's so important for people, if donation's important, register. You know, put it on your driver's license. In Minnesota, you can actually register on your hunting and fishing license. Mm-hmm. And then at the time that donations are possible, the LifeSource and the medical team can do that evaluation.
Before we took the break, we talked about new technologies and this research and progress that's being made. Can you talk about some of the advances that you're seeing?
Yes, really some tremendous advances. If you've been watching some of the national news, you will know that just recently, the first successful transplant of a pig kidney from a pig to a human happened. And that individual, 62-year-old man from Massachusetts, he went home a couple weeks after transplant, and he's healthy and it's functioning well. So we're seeing some real developments there. There have been efforts to transplant a pig heart to a human that weren't successful, but I think they will be in the near future. That's tremendous. I'd also share another really important research, and we were talking about how what has to happen at the time of donation for a successful transplant. well, you know, time is kind of the enemy of transplant. We need to recover organs, get them to those in need. The University of Minnesota, and we are a partner in this, is doing some really groundbreaking research looking at cryopreservation of organs. So that would mean that once an organ is recovered, it can be stored and kept healthy for a longer period of time before it would go to transplant. So that would definitely increase the number of organs available for transplant.
651-461-9226. That is the number to call if you have a question about organ donation. I'm Susie Jones. Again, our guest is Susan Mao Larson with LifeSource, working in partnership with Hennepin Healthcare and the University of Minnesota. What about rejection? You mentioned the pig rejection, but how big of a problem is rejection, and what's happening in terms of finding ways around that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, of course, rejection happens because the human body doesn't want a foreign substance. So when we receive an organ, our body will naturally reject it. So transplant recipients do take anti-rejection drugs, but the science and the medicine around those anti-rejection drugs continues to develop so that transplant recipients, while they need to take them for lifetime, they're taking fewer of them, and the side effects are a lot less. So that is a really critical development in transplantation that really helps extend the life for the recipient and the health for the recipient post-transplant.
And what can you tell us, Susan, about CRISPR technology?
I am not familiar with that. Say that again. Did you say CRISPR technology?
Yeah, we were just researching a little, Googling different parts of advancements being made in making this more successful, offering different opportunities. And maybe we were wrong. That's fine. I hear you typing. Are you Googling CRISPR technology?
Sorry. Okay, I won't do that.
No, you can. That's fine. It's live radio. We don't care. We're just trying to get information out. I mean, I feel like it's so bottom line, you want more people to be donors.
That's exactly right. We do want more people to be donors, and in partnership with our transplant centers, we'll ensure more people receive transplants. So, yes.
Bottom line, though, am I hearing right, and not to be a, you know, negative Nelly, but if you have a bunch of transplant donors ready at the ready, but the opportunity is small, aren't you up against, meaning the back to the ventilator question, do you know what I mean? Are you sitting with a bank of people that are ready, but people aren't able to do it because of this specific requirement?
Well, as I said, about 1% of people who pass away are eligible to be a donor. So you must, an organ donor, so you
but
must die in a hospital.
Yeah, so there's nothing to do about that, really, right? You're just, it's kind of a, I don't want to say it's left to chance, but I don't know.
Right. You know, that's probably the biggest barrier. It's really the reason why we need as many people to register as possible.
Okay.
And it's also the reason that we are trying to find additional ways, like I said, working with the university on cryopreservation or increases in pig transplant. As I mentioned, the HIV positive donors. So all of these things help to increase the number of organs, the number of people who can be donors, and the number of organs that can be transplanted from those donors. But it is a really rare and precious gift. I would also say, as we are working to manage donation, our stewardship of each gift is so, so critical because each one is so rare. Mm. So we need to make sure we're doing everything we can to make that possible.
Okay. All right. So a couple questions coming in. Is there an age beyond which a person can either no longer receive or no longer give a kidney?
There is no specific age beyond which somebody can receive or give.
Like,
I'm not sure I fully understand the question, but what I would say is that the whole body donation program at the University of Minnesota is a strong partner of LifeSource. When somebody dies and they're an organ donor, if they also want to be a whole body donor, then organ recovery would happen first. And then we would work with the University of Minnesota so that they may receive that gift of whole body donation, which is so important for research and for the medical school there. But one does not preclude the other.
Okay, very good. Say, let's take our bottom of the hour break. We'll do some weather. I'll share some important information with you about my life. And I want to talk, when we come back, about new technologies out there in terms of organ donation and where we are with rejection and rejection drugs. We'll do that after this quick break. It is 729 on News Talk 830 WCCO. 735. News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm Susie Jones on our newsline, Susan Mount Larson with LifeSource. And we're talking about organ donation, and we want you to be a part of the show as well at 651-461-9226. It's a good question. My wife and I are both 82. He says, I have prostate, bladder, and lung cancer. My wife has leukemia. We've been told we're too old, and if you have cancer, you can't be a donor. Is that true, Susan?
Yes, and first, I'm sorry to hear about your health issues. That's really, really difficult, very sad. I would say you're not too old. However, when somebody has active cancer, they aren't able to be an organ donor because, of course, we want to make sure that that's not passed along to the recipient.
But however, if you've had cancer and you're no longer have cancer, does that make a person still available?
No, that they could be a donor, absolutely. And so once that you get through treatment and you no longer have that active cancer, yes, then you would have a potential to be a donor. So that's why I think it's so important for people if donation's important, register. You know, put it on your driver's license. In Minnesota, you can actually register on your hunting and fishing license. Mm-hmm. And then at the time that donations are possible, the LifeSource and the medical team can do that evaluation.
Before we took the break, we talked about new technologies and this research and progress that's being made. Can you talk about some of the advances that you're seeing?
Yes, really some tremendous advances. If you've been watching some of the national news, you will know that just recently, the first successful transplant of a kidney from a pig to a human happened. And that individual, a 62-year-old man from Massachusetts, he went home a couple weeks after transplant, and he's healthy and it's functioning well. So we're seeing some real developments there. There have been efforts to transplant a pig heart to a human that weren't successful, but I think they will be in the near future. That's tremendous. I'd also share another really important research, and we were talking about what has to happen at the time of donation for a successful transplant. Well, you know, time is kind of the enemy of transplant. We need to recover organs, get them to those in need. The University of Minnesota, and we are a partner in this, is doing some really groundbreaking research looking at cryopreservation of organs. So that would mean that once an organ is recovered, it can be stored and kept healthy for a longer period of time before it would go to transplant. So that would definitely increase the number of organs available for transplant.
651-461-9226. That is the number to call if you have a question about organ donation. I'm Susie Jones. Again, our guest is Susan Mao Larson with LifeSource, working in partnership with Hennepin Healthcare and the University of Minnesota. What about rejection? You mentioned the pig rejection, but how big of a problem is rejection and what's happening in terms of finding ways around that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, of course, rejection happens because the human body doesn't want a foreign substance. So when we receive an organ, our body will naturally reject it. So transplant recipients do take anti-rejection drugs, but the science and the medicine around those anti-rejection drugs continues to develop so that transplant recipients, while they need to take them for lifetime, they're taking fewer of them, and the side effects are a lot less. So that is a really critical development in transplantation that really helps extend the life for the recipient and the health for the recipient post-transplant.
And what can you tell us, Susan, about CRISPR technology?
I am not familiar with that. Say that again. Did you say CRISPR technology?
Yeah, we were just researching a little, Googling different parts of advancements being made in making this more successful, offering different opportunities. And maybe we were wrong. That's fine. I hear you typing. Are you Googling CRISPR technology?
Sorry. Okay, I won't do that.
No, you can. That's fine. It's live radio. We don't care. We're just trying to get information out. I mean, I feel like it's so bottom line, you want more people to be donors.
That's exactly right. We do want more people to be donors, and in partnership with our transplant centers, we'll ensure more people receive transplants. So, yes.
Bottom line, though, am I hearing right, and not to be a, you know, negative Nelly, but if you have a bunch of transplant donors ready at the ready, but the opportunity is small, aren't you up against, meaning the back to the ventilator question, do you know what I mean? Are you sitting with a bank of people that are ready, but people aren't able to do it because of this specific requirement?
Well, as I said, about 1% of people who pass away are eligible to be a donor. So you must, an organ donor, so you
but
must die in a hospital.
Yeah, so there's nothing to do about that, really, right? You're just, it's kind of a, I don't want to say it's left to chance, but I don't know.
Right. You know, that's probably the biggest barrier. It's really the reason why we need as many people to register as possible.
Okay.
And it's also the reason that we are trying to find additional ways, like I said, working with the university on cryopreservation or increases in PEG transplant. As I mentioned, the HIV positive donors. So all of these things help to increase the number of organs, the number of people who can be donors, and the number of organs that can be transplanted from those donors. But it is a really rare and precious gift. I would also say, as we are working to manage donation, our stewardship of each gift is so, so critical because each one is so rare. Mm. So we need to make sure we're doing everything we can to make that possible.
Okay. All right. So a couple questions coming in. Is there an age beyond which a person can either no longer receive or no longer give a kidney?
There is no specific age beyond which somebody can receive or give. Like I said, the oldest organ donor in the country was 95. We have seen cornea and eye donors over the age of 100.
Oh.
It's really about the health of the donor and the health of the recipient. I remember a transplant surgeon that we work with in Fargo, North Dakota, did a living donor transplant. Both the donor and the recipient were in their mid-80s.
Oh, wow.
And he said they were both very healthy, so we went ahead with the transplant and perhaps gave that recipient another 10, 15 years of life.
Cool. Can you donate if you have had hepatitis, a texter writes?
Yes, you can donate if you've had hepatitis. Again, the donation from someone who has hepatitis would likely go to a recipient who has hepatitis.
Oh,
but
I see.
But that recipient can get many, many more years of a very healthy life.
Okay. So here's one. This is my friend Natalie. Oh, I love Natalie. Natalie Bashaw says, I want to say a huge thank you to LifeSource because they helped us in receiving Logan's second heart in December of 2019 at the age of 15. And we hit the 5 years in December. She's headed to her workout and just wanted to share. Oh, that's awesome. And Logan is a wonderful young man. Do you know the story of, do you know Logan?
Vaguely, yes, I do remember the story and Logan getting his transplant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Logan was born with half a heart. He's a twin. And he has just a trooper. He is a warrior. And he has a nonprofit he started called Logan Loves. So I encourage people to check that out. Another question this morning. Thanks, Natalie. If I have relapsing, this is the texter. If I have relapsing remittent MS, totally managed by medication, can I be a donor? This texture writes.
Yes.
okay?
Yeah, I would say again, yes. And again, at the time of donation, they'll do an evaluation about, you know, where your MS is and what are the implications. But yes, you can be a donor.
All right. 651-461-9226. We're going to take our final break today, but we have more questions. This is a great morning. We're having a lot of questions, a lot of involvement. Really appreciate everybody. 651-461-9226. We're back right after this. And we are back for the final segment of the big show, the health show on WCCO Radio. I think we should name it On Your Health. What do you think, Charlie? On Your Health.
Yeah, I like The Big Show.
The Big Show?
Yeah, I thought that was a good name.
All right, we can call it The Big Show.
The Big Show just happens to be about health, but it's The Big Show.
It's The Big Show, Sunday morning. Susan Mao Larson is our guest. She is with LifeSource, and we're talking about transplantation. And we've got time for more text questions, 651-461-9226. A texter writes this morning, is it just checking your name on your driver's license? Is that the only thing you need to do to be an organ donor?
Yes, it actually is that simple to become an organ donor. And if that's something you choose, you can check the box on your driver's license. You can, if you don't have it on your license, but you're interested in being a donor, you can actually go online and register. Or, as I said before, in Minnesota, you can register as a donor on your hunting or fishing license. Minnesota was the first state in the nation to make that possible. So you don't need to do all. You can just pick one, and it's very easy.
A texter writes at 651-461-9226, does having a do not resuscitate in place cause issues with organ transplantation and donation?
That actually is an excellent question. It could, but it really does not. Actually, there's a spot in the Minnesota law that specifies that if somebody has a do not resuscitate and they or their family choose to be a donor, we need to make sure we work to make those two things happen in concert. So donation would move forward and then the DNR would be honored.
And so, for example, if someone is in need, how are you notified? What's the process once someone has passed and they're on a ventilator and they are a donor? How fast does it take to get that organ into the next person?
Oh, yeah. So let me walk through a little bit about how the donation process works. Mm-hmm. So when somebody is in a hospital on a ventilator and all life-saving measures have not come to fruition, the hospitals actually call us. That's a federal law. They are mandated to call us, and they do. They're very good about it. So our team takes those calls 24/7. And once we receive that call, then we can evaluate the opportunities for donation. We work with the hospital. We support the family. We manage the organ recovery process, and then we make sure that the organs get to those in need. Based on the national priority list, which matches donors to recipients based on geography, length of time waiting, who is the sickest, to make sure who is the sickest receives those organs first.
Okay. And then at that point, now, for example, in Minnesota, if I am in an accident and I'm on the ventilator and I'm not going to make it, do all my organs only stay in Minnesota, or can they go anywhere in the world? In the United States?
They could go anywhere in the United States. The matching with donors and recipients does have a geographic element, because once an organ is recovered, we want it to be received as quickly as possible. So it's kind of like concentric circles. We start locally, and if there is no recipient, you know, based on size or blood type, then we will go out further. So then we might be in Chicago or Denver, and then keep going out until we find the perfect match so that that recipient can have the best possible outcome.
What's generally the window you're shooting for from the moment that you're declared dead and on the ventilator to the moment the person gets whatever organ they were hoping for?
You know, honestly, that time frame can be a few days. So once somebody has been declared dead and we know that they chose donation or their family, we'll work through the process and work with the family. Timing is different for each family, and some may want a little bit more time. Mm. So It's once the recovery of the organ happens, that's where time becomes really crucial. Mm. Hearts and lungs, for example, need to be transplanted within 4 to 6 hours.
Oh.
Kidneys can take more time. Kidneys, it could be 18, maybe even 24 hours. But that's why before we recover hearts and lungs, we have identified the recipients. So that the recovery can go very quickly to the transplant center where the waiting recipient is usually ready for that surgery.
And as you said before in this hour, are kidneys the most common organ to mm-hmm. be donated?
They are, partly because we have two kidneys. They're quite healthy, and that's where the highest need is. But every day we see donors that donate hearts, lungs, livers, pancreas, very, very important organs, and those are transplanted every day.
And right now, again, you want more donors because it is a narrow window to match the donor with the recipient. Mm-hmm. And so if someone wants to donate and they've already got their driver's license done for the year, what do they do? And we have a minute left.
They can go online. Our website is life-source.org and register online. Or the next time they get ready to go hunting or fishing and get that license, they can register there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Do you want to say any final words before we let you go?
I just really want to say thank you to all those listeners who have registered to be donors. It's a really, really important gift that helps the health of our community. So thank you for doing that.
Well, we hope you have a wonderful day. Enjoy the rain. And we'll circle back and have you again sometime. And we'll maybe get the folks from Hennepin Healthcare as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Susie. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. That is Susan Mao Larson with Life Source on News Talk 830 WCCO on The Big Show. It is 7:56 on a Sunday morning. And we are back for the final segment of The Big Show, the health show on WCCO Radio. I think we should name it On Your Health. What do you think, Charlie? On Your Health.
Yeah, I like The Big Show.
The Big Show.
Yeah, I thought that was a good name.
All right, we can call it The Big Show.
The Big Show just happens to be about health, but it's The Big Show.
It's The Big Show, Sunday morning. Susan Mao Larson is our guest. She is with Life Source, and we're talking about transplantation. We've got time for more text questions, 651-461-9226. A texter writes this morning, is it just checking your name on your driver's license? Is that the only thing you need to do to be an organ donor?
Yes, it actually is that simple to become an organ donor. And if that's something you choose, you can check the box on your driver's license. You can, if you don't have it on your license, but you're interested in being a donor, you can actually go online and register. Or, as I said before, in Minnesota, you can register as a donor on your hunting or fishing license. Minnesota was the first state in the nation to make that possible. So you don't need to do all. You can just pick one, and it's very easy.
A texter writes at 651-461-9226, does having a do not resuscitate in place cause issues with organ transplantation and donation?
That actually is an excellent question. It could, but it really does not. Actually, there's a spot in the Minnesota law that specifies that if somebody has a do not resuscitate and they or their family choose to be a donor, we need to make sure we work to make those two things happen in concert. So donation would move forward, and then the DNR would be honored.
And so, for example, if someone is in need, how are you notified? What's the process once someone has passed and they're on a ventilator and they are a donor? How fast does it take to get that organ into the next person?
Oh, yeah. So let me walk through a little bit about how the donation process works. Mm-hmm. So when somebody is in a hospital on a ventilator and all life-saving measures have not come to fruition, the hospitals actually call us. That's a federal law. They are mandated to call us, and they do. They're very good about it. So our team takes those calls 24/7. And once we receive that call, then we can evaluate the opportunities for donation. We work with the hospital. We support the family. We manage the organ recovery process. And then we make sure that the organs get to those in need. Based on the national priority list, which matches donors to recipients based on geography, length of time waiting, who is the sickest, to make sure who is the sickest receives those organs first.
Okay. And then at that point, now, for example, in Minnesota, if I am in an accident and I'm on the ventilator and I'm not going to make it, do all my organs only stay in Minnesota, or can they go anywhere in the world, in the United States?
They could go anywhere in the United States. The matching with donors and recipients does have a geographic element, because once an organ is recovered, we want it to be received as quickly as possible. So it's kind of like concentric circles. We start locally, and if there is no recipient, you know, based on size or blood type, then we will go out further. So then we might be in Chicago or Denver, and then keep going out until we find the perfect match so that that recipient can have the best possible outcome.
What's generally the window you're shooting for from the moment that you're declared dead and on the ventilator to the moment the person gets whatever organ they were hoping for?
You know, honestly, that time frame can be a few days. So once somebody has been declared dead and we know that they chose donation or their family, we'll work through the process and work with the family. Timing is different for each family, and some may want a little bit more time. So it's once the recovery of the organ happens, that's where time becomes really crucial. Hearts and lungs, for example, need to be transplanted within 4 to 6 hours. Kidneys... Yeah, kidneys can take more time. Kidneys, it could be 18, maybe even 24 hours. But that's why before we recover hearts and lungs, we have identified the recipients so that the recovery can go very quickly to the transplant center, where the waiting recipient is usually ready for that surgery.
And as you said before in this hour, are kidneys the most common organ to be donated?
They are, partly because we have two kidneys. They're quite healthy, and that's where the highest need is. But every day we see donors that donate hearts, lungs, livers, pancreas, very, very important organs, and those are transplanted every day.
And right now, again, you want more donors because it is a narrow window to match the donor with the recipient. And so if someone wants to donate and they've already got their driver's license done for the year, what did they do? And we have a minute left.
They can go online. Our website is life-source.org and register online. Or the next time they get ready to go hunting or fishing and get that license, they can register there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Do you want to say any final words before we let you go?
I just really want to say thank you to all those listeners who have registered to be donors. It, again, it's a really, really important gift that helps the health of our community. So thank you for doing that.
Well, we hope you have a wonderful day. Enjoy the rain. And we'll circle back and have you again on again sometime. And we'll maybe get the folks from Hennepin Healthcare as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Susie. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. That is Susan Mao Larson with LifeSource on News Talk 830 WCCO on The Big Show. It is 7:56 on a Sunday morning.